Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hey, everyone. The trio from the Faith and Life team, Jillian. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Pei.
Hey, Pei. Hey.
And me, Jenny, we are here to talk about the pandemic. Yeah, we figured that we actually all have quite a lot to say about it. And actually, it's something that the entire world is experiencing together, completely unprecedented, new to us in our lifetimes. And we are struggling with different aspects of it. So we felt this conversation might be helpful for you too, because we are sure you are struggling as well. So to start us off, Jillian and Pei, what are some major themes you find about humanity that has emerged as we witness how this pandemic is sweeping across the world, you know? What is it showing us about humanity?
I think it's definitely a mixture, but call me an Eeyore. But I think recently I've been thinking more about a pattern that I've seen emerge, and it's got to do with the need for humanity to find a scapegoat or to blame. And so we've seen that through, on one hand, like applauding, you know, the Singapore government for their quick response to COVID, and then after that, very quickly turning around and pointing fingers and saying, "Oh, they should have done this. They should have done better with the migrant workers." And then pointing fingers at those manning the dorms, and then pointing fingers at Grab for not doing enough to help the hawkers. And then on a larger global scale, trying to point fingers at the China virus, that kind of the Chinese virus. I think it's something that we've been doing from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, were pointing fingers at one another and the serpent. And so I think that's something in our DNA, which has been there for a long time. But I think in a crisis like this, it's become heightened. And it's shown me that there just seems to be this need to find fault or to point fingers at something. And I'm just thinking, can we actually hold back on this? Because we never see the complete picture. And so it's just something that I've been thinking about. But I feel like it's something in us as humans that we need to do.
Yeah, it's like an inherent quality of humanness to assign blame. I feel like it's connected with the need that being rational beings, we need explanation. But I think explaining things and assigning blame is slightly different. And I think that's a very good observation, because with social media, that is just rampage, man. Who to blame for what all the time, right? And it plays into other things that we humans are prone to, like prejudice and racism as well. Yeah. What about for you, Pei? What are couple of themes that have come through for you?
Yeah, I think I've definitely journeyed from, watching the news and then getting just baffled by the panic buying, and then moving to maybe irritation and like, what's wrong with us? What is the logic in this? And so just frustrations there to then, because I've been volunteering with a group that focuses on fighting poverty through enterprise solutions. And then when things became bad, just seeing this team rally together and be like, what can we do? Because I mean, the reports are coming in that the coronavirus could push back all the fight against poverty, backwards up to 30 years in some regions of the world, like in Asia. And how many millions are going to go further into poverty because of this. But just seeing this little group, this band of people just say, hey, let's just do what we can. But, just by the grace of God and what he's given us, 5 loaves, 2 fish, what can we leverage? What can we pull together to push this back, to just activate our whole band of brothers or ecosystem and you know, and just pray into this and do what we can, you know, so that, that hopeful side of humanity, that imago Dei, the creative problem solving, you know, when we're in a corner, maybe you see something even more amazing because you're in a corner rather than, oh, let's just give up, you know? So I think I see what Jillian is talking about as well as imago Dei from another perspective. Yeah.
Mm. And I think all of these is happening within one individual, isn't it? I mean, we struggle with wanting to find solutions, answers, and the tendency to blame. But I think there's also a part of us, especially as Christians, that also want to contribute, want to make a difference. And with, I think maybe and there's that dimension that as Christians, we have a certain idealism, we have a certain hope that God is doing something in the midst of everything, and God's Which called us to do something. And although maybe we can't address things always on a global scale, every one of us have our own little backyard, our own spheres of influence. We have our own, like you said, five loaves and two fish. And I think our faith informs us that we do not stop doing that, no matter what the situation, right? Yeah, like in the early days, there were Christians also writing about how the church has gone through the plague in the past and how they've responded and how that is actually very instructive for us, that Christians are not afraid of death. You know, we are at peace with the fact that, you know, mortality is a part of life. But we are meaning makers and meaning seekers. So we try to make sense of things, but especially by affirming life and supporting life, wherever it may be. So for me, a thread that has come through is just reading a lot of people talking about grief and loss. You know, I'm quite acquainted with grief and loss because of my own family experiences, but I was quite startled to hear from some other friends, you know, and especially men. And when they started talking about how they are going through a sense of loss, a sense of grief and lament, even the need for the church to lament. I thought that's another major theme about being human. So if we can say, has this pandemic, maybe in the apocalyptic nature of the pandemic, is that it has revealed to us that to be human is to suffer losses. To be human is to want to find answers. To be human is to want to be an answer. What do you think? Am I making sense?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the whole nature of this crisis is that it has stripped us to our bare humanity and what really, really matters. And I think apocalyptically, it has also revealed or laid bare, like this whole idea of laying bare and removing the things that we clung on to in the past. So whether that was the need for shopping or the need for my bubble tea or, you know, or even work.
Bakute.
That's naughty, pay. Come on, don't pick on the poor that, guy.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's been removed and we are forced to confront ourselves, you know, the reality of ourselves in our homes. We don't have the home face and the church face and the office face anymore. We are holistically one person and we are forced to be that person at home. In its raw glory kind of thing, right?
I love the word raw glory. Hashtag,
yeah. Hashtag raw glory.
Hashtag raw glory. Wow, nice.
Yeah, and so we're confronted with, I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves, like who are we really? And that is one of the basic questions of humanity, right? In the face of life and death.
Very true, very true. And that's really part of meaning making, right?
Yeah.
But also, I also because this is striking us globally, right? And it's disabling our systems, revealing like issues like food security, supply chain, that kind of thing, and all of our interdependence. I think as Christians, we believe in interdependence, right? But what are your thoughts? You know, I feel like our world has taken this interdependence a bit off kilter, you know? It's like, instead of the interdependence empowering and enabling us, it's making us dependent on each other and disabling us. Okay, let me state my case here. So, for example, we are so used to the bubble tea, the restaurant eating and all that to make ourselves feel joyful, perhaps, right? That when these things are stripped away from us and it's because of decisions made by policy or because supply chain disruption, whatever, then we are suffering. We are suffering, you know. we maybe even feel a little bit diminished in some ways or deprived. I don't know. I just thought that that reveals that maybe it's actually a dependence issue now. You know, like we depend on these things rather than having a sense of sufficiency in the Lord. And yeah, being able to be also self-sufficient in that sense. You know, what are your thoughts? Are you two having any withdrawals from any of these things? No lah, you two. Holistic people with raw glory, no issue, huh? But you know what I'm trying to get at, right? I mean, I think God created us to be dependent on Him and interdependent on each other, but somehow our entire economic enterprise has made our interdependence a bit of a crutch for all of us, and also a lot of idolatry, lah, I feel. How initially when people couldn't travel, it was like all moan and groan. And then everything that's taken away is like all moan and groan, as if it almost sounds like we are really going to die, you know? But actually we won't die. Well, we will still survive. I mean, if you don't have this, you don't have that, you can still survive, you know?
That's true. I mean, I remember a distinct moment where I was thinking, okay, if we run out of food and I can't get my family in Malaysia to mail it to me because that's where the food is, then never mind. Because as Christians, it's been shown that we can fast for 40 days. So, okay, we should be good for another 40.
That's one strategy, I guess. Yeah.
It was a half serious reflection, wow, this is a reality that food supply. Okay, what's going to happen there? And then also the reality and the reminder, right? That okay, come back to where is our dependence? Where is our strength? Where did it come from anyway? Outside of the systems and the processes that we've set up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it reveals how far removed we are from the things that we recite in church, you know, like the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But it's a very removed reality from us because we are not looking to the Lord for our daily bread most of the times.
Yeah, we're looking to Food Panda and Grab Delivery. I mean, we still got those, you know, even if we can't go to the supermarket. But so I think it's almost like we had to follow that trajectory through, and then the what ifs, like what if this is gone? What if we don't have Grab food and all these privileges? What if? And then what do we have, you know? So it's been a reflective time as well on that stuff.
That's interesting. Jill, did you follow that trajectory and prepare to fast for 40 days?
It was kind of just like holding that whole tension. So going back to what Pei was talking about as Imago Dei and how God created us. I think He has, if we're created in the image of God, then we have creativity. And He made a world that was meant for abundance. And we don't see it now because everything has been stripped away. But I think it's knowing that, yeah, this is the reality of the situation. But on the other hand, it's not because of like man is so great, but because we have that creativity from God and the wisdom from God, we will find solutions. So it's not about, you know, glorifying man. We're so smart and our science is so great. But it's just that humble acknowledgement that the solutions will come from God in some way or another. I mean, it's just like, I was just thinking about this. This is the whole idea that, you know, the limits that are placed on us actually are the canvas for our creativity. So, you know, we are confined, but then that actually becomes the pressure that allows greater creativity and new solutions to come out because we're putting our focus in the right place.
And I think because too of the very, I mean, like we were saying, Imago Dei means we are made to be problem solvers. Like the greatest problem solver has been Christ. He's dealt with the eternal one for all of us. But okay, then how do we image that, you know, redemptively in the everyday? And it is through being problem solving and having that determination or the inspiration, you know, all of it from the one who made us. So
That's cool. Okay, so having said that then, since this whole thing this corona apocalypse has revealed so many things, right? And there's so many issues now to resolve. First, issues within our own heart, and then maybe issues in our relationships, in our churches, or maybe larger systemic issues. I'm going to ask you a really hard question. Is there something you would personally like to address?
When you say address, do you mean...
It could be like read up about it, pray more about it, find like-minded people to know about it a bit more, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Okay, so for me, maybe I get started. So for me, I think I've always been very passionate about intentional communities. So I feel quite strongly that when the travel restrictions have lifted, I feel quite strongly that I would like to travel and visit an intentional community and live with them for a while, because I feel that there is something that I want to learn and grow. I'm not saying definitely that that's what I'm going to start or do, but I just feel a leading to do that. I feel that there are experiences in there, there are truths there, there's value there that I feel drawn to uncover for myself, to contribute towards my own personal journey going forward. Yeah, in fulfillment of who and what I believe God's called me to be and to do. Yeah, that's mine.
I think for me, it's already started happening, just being reminded of and focusing on the power of team and united vision. Because, you know, I mean, I mentioned the fight against poverty earlier, and for me, it's not something that I have naturally gravitated toward in my own walk. Mm. I might have dealt more with poverty of spirit and maybe mental health struggles, you know, in friends and in my community. But in terms of just even like an actual financial poverty, it has had to be practiced into a habit versus a natural moving and overflowing of compassion, you know? So I think as the spirit matures, you ponder that more. And so this whole work in fighting poverty has led me back to an even more important issue of teamwork and rallying around and just remembering how much we need each other. And that when that is believed and acted on, the fact that we're virtual and apart is, I mean, other than the leaning in and being like, pardon, pardon, and speaking really loudly, other than that part, it's been really, my mind's been blown. Like, how much can be done virtually when the heart is united and when people choose to do it as a team? It's just, yeah, that whole five loaves, two fish thing has really been just a reality for me in joining this team and you know, just trying to do something.
Fantastic. Yeah. Wow. Hey, Jill. Jill has 10,000 things she wants to address. Pick one, Jill, just one.
I think personally, I think one of the good things is this whole the need for rhythm. I think everybody is saying that in this time at home, you have to find a rhythm for yourself and to, you know, maintain a schedule and things like that. I'm hoping that for myself and beyond, I guess, that the rhythm is still maintained even after this is over, that we learn to still have the Sabbath and the rest that I think most of us have been able to get. And not just like go back and chonga, you know, just go back into the whole mad rush and busyness of life, even when things are so-called back to normal. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. So if I could just like bring it together, new normal would be a more healthy rhythm, aka Sabbath rhythm. So the Bible informs us. Take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and meek, kind of rhythm. Interdependence that is constructive and creative, that empowers and releases and energizes, teamwork, yeah, solid teamwork, problem solving. That's good. So humanity is meant, is designed by God to operate by a rhythm, to operate together. And of course, mine is seeing whether such experiments are happening and what it takes for experiments like this to succeed in actual communities, in actual lived spaces. Cool. Looks like we have our work cut out for us the rest of this year. Very fine. We will try to report back on another episode of the podcast. What will be fine.
How are we doing?
I won't be around.
What do you mean?
Wait, what? Kind, what?
What? No. Okay. Back.
She'll be Sabbathing.
And I think we are able to do hashtag raw glory, hashtag new normal because of our faith. Our faith informs us that we have a God who is redemptive. So I know it's very weird for non-Christians to hear Christians say that I thank God for this or I thank God for that, especially at a time like this. But I think we thank God for this pandemic, don't we? I mean, not in the sense that, I mean, we don't thank God for the suffering ever, but we thank God for the good hidden inside it, hidden within it, the apocalyptic nature of it, as it were, that reveals what we have become blind to. Do you all want to speak more into this theology of redemption to help us understand it better? What's your own experience or your own take on it? What more could we hope for besides the three things that we talked about? You know, if God is redeeming, what else could he be wanting to see happen in our world? Yeah. So time to dream, people. Yeah.
One of the things that I've been thinking about, and it goes back to what happens after you know, the circuit breaker and all that has been lifted, and it has maybe to do with our mindsets again, and I think everyone is in panic mode, it's crisis mode, so everything is heightened, right? We need to do something, you know, the problems are bearing down on us, we can see them really clearly. But I just wonder, after the panic in that sense has subsided, and things in a sense go back to somewhat of the norm, do we go back then to our old ways, or are we still continuing to find, is the church in that sense still finding ways to help and to care and to look out for one another, as opposed to just like going back inward, like, hooray, we can have services again, and then that focus is turned inward again.
Yeah, I think I really resonate with that, because if we are going to have a new normal, if God is trying to say, you know, I really want to strip away certain things, I want you to bear down on the essentials, I want you to come back to me, I want you to address your idolatry, I want you to develop a healthy rhythm, I want you to establish kingdom, we have to help each other figure this out, because obviously we haven't done it well enough. Otherwise, why would God need to knock us on the head, you know, and ask us to take a really hard look, right?
So actually,
yeah, you're right. You know, we need to have more conversations. We need to have more communities supporting each other in this journey. Whether it's families supporting families on how do I bring worship and sustain a faith life at home, whether it's businesses, small enterprises, wanting to do things differently. Yeah.
Talk to you about this. Kind of like, you know, there's this need, like, oh, I want to do something about this, you know, this kind of mentality because of the crisis. But that mentality should be brought even into ordinary times. Like, there are problems in everyday life with or without a crisis, right, or a pandemic. That whole attitude of like, what can I do, rather than sit back and it's like, what can the government do? What can, you know, the church do? But what can we do as individuals and as the church to bring shalom or flourishing, right, to the kingdom of God? That kind of attitude, I'm just hoping and I'm wanting to see that we'll continue even after the crisis.
Yeah, I think I would almost say let's change the hashtag from new normal to back to what was always normal. Like what was always asked of the church, you know, rather than maybe dwelling on trying to predict what God is doing and what is in the mind of God at this moment. How about we focus, like Jillian is saying, what he's given to us and told us to do, and bring that back into our normal. You know, it was always meant to be normal. And how about we just stick with it, you know, rather than call it, even calling it a new normal. Like, should we even call it that, right?
Old normal.
Always normal. But yeah, so fully agree with that. That's something that listening to a virtual talk the other night just really reminded me, like, what this is more about returning rather than you know, that there's something so revelationally new. Is that a real word?
But I think I agree with you. I just wonder though that sometimes when we have been in operating in a space a little bit too far from the original normal, it does take a bit of reimagination. And I think, yeah, this is a very prophetic moment for the church, where we have to ask ourselves some really hard questions. What does it mean to be the people of God? What does it mean to have faith? How is community. Faith really, what does it mean to have community? How is faith really informing, instructing, and not just inspiring, but animating our life, you know? And it's really not easy, because it's about, like, going back to the Lordship of Christ and having him overturn the tables in the temple over again, overturn the tables in our lives, opening up every single room in our lives and letting him dust out all the corners, expose all the skeletons. Actually, I think it's a necessary pain. So this external pain that we're feeling, I think, is a prelude, I feel, to the deeper pain that we might need to go through. But it's going to be a pain that I feel the Lord will sort of cushion for us and carry us if we dare to embark on it. So let's now talk about a couple qualities that maybe as children of God we really need to have in order to move into that space. For me, the first one would be really courage. Yeah. Just to have the courage to say we got it wrong. Have the courage to say we went overboard. Have the courage to say we idolize. Have the courage to say stinkingly selfish back then, need to change. Yeah. So the first trait I would put out there is
exactly that, but have the humility to say that we got it wrong. The humility to say that we built idols for ourselves.
So humility, courage. Give us one more, P. It's a trio, man.
I think just when we wake up to the realization that we have stunk for a long time and that it's been festering and we've been ugly, it brings us back to the cross, right? Like, oh, that utter face in the dirt, like when you see yourself truly, and it just brings you back to the cross. Like, this, thank you, Christ, for your patience, for your death. And I want to be a steward of that, you know, and then, my life is not my own, and I want to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, and just moving forward, you know, like moving forward because of that grace.
Fantastic. So on that note, we will wrap up our conversation. The centrality of Christ as we move forward, remembering what he has achieved on the cross. And it's not a one-time achievement, it's a real achievement we're meant to experience in our life. If we courageously dare to look at our life and humbly dare to accept our culpability and own up, but also show up for the possibilities that lie ahead, and thereby maybe recapturing more raw glory. How is that?
Hashtag.
Thank you everyone for listening in. This has been the Faith and Life team with Gillian Lee, Pei Lee, and me, Jenny Hovan. Thank you. Bye.
Bye everyone.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.